Since 1992, Genesis House has been helping real people heal from addiction on their private recovery campus in beautiful Palm Beach County, Florida. Their family-owned program is accredited by the Joint Commission and offers detox and dual diagnosis treatment in a comfortable and confidential setting. At Genesis House, they focus on treating the underlying causes of addiction. Their comprehensive approach includes psychiatric care, individual and small group therapy, trauma healing techniques, and holistic care including yoga, massage, and animal-assisted therapy. After treatment, their clients enjoy the lifelong support of a nationwide network of Genesis House alumni. Call Genesis House today at 1-800-737-0933 to speak with someone who understands. Visit them on the web at www.genesishouse.net. It's time to start your journey to a long and successful recovery.
Genesis House and the Friends in Recovery podcast are proud to bring you Answering the Call, the First Responders podcast. Join your hosts as they address the real issues of first responders' health and wellness, from physical and mental health to relationships and work-life balance. Answering the Call, the First Responders podcast, is available on Facebook, Podbean, iTunes, and YouTube, as well as iHeartRadio, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Now, here are your friends in recovery answering the call.
Hey, everybody, welcome. Answering the Call, the First Responders podcast. I am the podfather, Mike Miles, and I'm here alone today without Jersey Ed. It's been a couple of weeks. I feel abandoned. We've been doing the podcast for so long, and we have always made it work. So this is something new we're trying. Ed's doing the Friends in Recovery podcast solo, and I'm doing the Answer on the Call podcast solo. We will be reuniting. We're going to be doing a podcast from the car probably sometime this month in July. So anyway, happy 4th of July. It's going to be a wet one, but we're still looking forward to some time off. Lately I've been working with a lot of police officers that have been retiring, and I thought I'd talk about that a little bit today. Firemen too, correctional officers, anybody that's involved in EMS. It just so happens I've been talking with cops that are retiring, and if you know any, or if you are one who is thinking of retiring or, in fact, in the process of retiring, make sure you do an exit interview. And you can Google that, and you can look up, individuals that are, coaches, life coaches, therapists, excuse me. It's real important. If you retire because of your emotions, you might be losing out. You might be losing out financially, emotionally. If you've been doing this job for more than 20 years, it's part of you. If you've been doing this job more than 5 years, it's part of you. But if you've been doing it for an extended period of time, the good thing about being a cop, in a fireman, in a correctional officer, is you get a pension. After so many years, you get a pension, and that pension is usually, in Massachusetts, it's 80% of what our weekly pay is. So if you make $1,000 a week, you retire, you'll get $800 a week. Then, of course, they tax that. So, listen, I'm not complaining. It's nice. I don't pay into Social Security through the police department for 35 years. However, I did pay into it through my therapy business. So I can also get Social Security. I'm not going to be rich getting all these all of these checks in the mail, but I think a lot of people take this job because of the security, and or they took this job because of the security. And again, you get a pension to live out your senior years, which I'm doing now. I'm 67. I just think it's important to do an exit interview and give it some thought, put some effort into it. Don't just decide because you're pissed off, somebody rubbed you the wrong way, you didn't get a promotion, you got a new chief or a new lieutenant or somebody in charge that you don't get along with. You say, hey, freak that, I'm just going to retire. That's no way to leave, trust me. Don't let your emotions dictate your actions when it comes to something so important as a retirement. You can contact me, 978-746-1717, or you can contact me email. It's Mike Miles, MSW, at gmail.com. I don't email myself, so it's on my cards. But anyway, it's really important to speak to somebody because you really need to know how you're going to be living financially and how you're going to, get up every day and what are you going to do? You know, are you going to sit around and watch TV? Do you have plans? Do you play golf? Do you have a boat? Do you go fishing? You know, do you have money put aside? Do you have a 401k? You're going to go on some trips? It's good. It's good to plan your retirement as much as it is when you're planning a vacation. You know, put at least that much effort into it. You know, don't just go off half-cocked and retire out of your anger or disappointment. And right now, there's a lot going on in law enforcement that's very negative. You know, we see it every day, and it's a very turbulent time to be a cop, to be a police officer. Not so much for the other EMS jobs, fire department. I'm sure they have their issues too, but I think law enforcement's a little bit different. The media really will come in and ruin your life if you make a mistake, and it's a slow news day. they can really do a job on you, and I've seen it done many times. Our local newspaper in Lowell, Massachusetts is it's called the Sun, but it used to be called the Lowell Sun. Well, they're downsizing again. Excuse me. And I think they're down to 8 employees. At one time, they employed hundreds of people. So newspapers are, they're going the way of horseshoes, buggies and carriages. There's no longer a need for them. You know, we get our media, social media. We get our media on our phones, on TV, radio. We don't need to pick up a paper. I personally, I'm an old man. I buy 2 newspapers a day. I don't buy the local paper, but I buy a Boston and a New York paper every day. I enjoy reading. It gives me something to do because I am retired. I take about 15 minutes and go through each paper. I enjoy it. Something I really enjoy doing. You know, retirement, when you're in a job and you're going 100 miles an hour sometimes, and then all of a sudden you just stop and you're done and you don't have to go and you don't have to work a detail. You don't have to work a double shift. You know, you don't have to write reports. You know, you don't have to defend yourself because someone attacked you or attacked somebody else and you went there to quell the disturbance. And next thing you know, you're being attacked. You know, a lot of cops retire at 55. If they have in Massachusetts, the numbers are 31 years of service, 55 years of age. You got to have those 2 to get your 80%. Percentage wise, 13% make it to those numbers. 13%. I had those numbers. I stayed till I was 59, because I had a great job. I didn't want to leave, but I wanted to leave. I was working for basically pennies on the dollar, but I was the employee assistance professional. I had my own unmarked cruiser. I had a phone, and I love the camaraderie, but I also had another business that I was running. So I did leave, and I was hired back per diem as the EAP for the Lowell Police. So I came back for 20 grand a year part-time, plus I was getting my pension. It was a pretty good deal. I did it for 3 years. I also worked for the Sheriff's Department as their EAP in Middlesex County, which is a very good-sized Sheriff's Department. I think it's the 3rd largest Sheriff's Department in the country. You know, there's LA, there's Florida, and there's Middlesex County. So I think it's just really important to take your time, talk to your significant other, especially about something like retirement, because it's a whole different life once you're gone. I've been gone 6 years. I worked in a city of 120,000, 250 police personnel. I don't know half the cops on the street now doing the details. You know, I wave if we make eye contact. I don't want to look like the old crazy cop running around, jumping out. Do you know who I am? Unfortunately, or maybe fortunately, you know, I did run into a young cop a few weeks ago, and I opened and closed the gates to the Lowell Cemetery, and a couple got locked in. I didn't see them when I locked up. So I had to come back and let them out. Young cop, nice young man. And he'd been on 5 years. I said, I'm Mike Miles. I was waiting for him to say, oh, I heard of you. He had no idea. You know, I've been gone 6 years. I was there 35 years. This boy didn't know who I was. I gave him a T-shirt anyway. And I told him a little bit about the EAP program. I have something real interesting I wanted to talk about today, as well as retirement and exit interviews. Took a photo. I went to get a tuna sandwich a while ago. And a while ago this afternoon, and I got this photo. It's a place called Zesty's Pizza and Submarines. It's in Chelmsford, Massachusetts, where my office is. And basically, there's a poster on the wall, and it says, toe drunk to drive. Not too drunk to drive, toe drunk to drive, T-O-W. Free ride home with a free tow. No questions asked. Simply call. They give the number. It's to the Chelmsford Police Department. They actually give two numbers. And then in small letters, it says, available 24/7 from any establishment or residence in the town of Chelmsford to anywhere in the Merrimack Valley. Vehicle must be operable at the time of tow. All right. And every time someone uses this service, the Chelmsford Police Athletic League will donate $20 to a worthy cause for the holiday season that's upcoming in 6 months. Now think of this. Here's a police department that's telling you, the public, if you're too drunk to drive, as long as your car is operable, can't be a junk that you want towed, you know, and it's legit, the police will come pick you up and drive you anywhere in the Merrimack Valley. The Merrimack Valley is 17 cities and towns, all right? And they will tow your car for nothing, not a penny. Now think of that. If that's not going above and beyond, you know, my hat's off to whoever thought of this, number one. And number two, the citizens of this town of Chelmsford, they ought to be so proud of their police department. You know, I've been out here 21 years. I had my wallet stolen 2 years ago, Memorial Day, right out of my car. My fault. I left it on the dashboard where I ran in to check my mail. There was a guy on the 10 speed, obviously a junkie. He was looking through cars. I didn't really notice him looking through cars, but after it was over, I realized the car that he was standing by was all locked up. And he must have seen the wallet, grabbed it, and took off. I never got it back, but I did the report. Other than that, I've never had any problems out here. But I applaud this police department for this tow truck to drive, not too drunk to drive, tow truck to drive. And what a conception. I don't know if other cities and towns have this. I haven't heard of any, but I just thought it was amazing. I'm going to try to get a picture of the billboard I have, so I can put it out. Can't do it here. So I can put it out on the show notes. I'll send it to Ed, see what we can do, what Kyle can do. Kyle's our producer, our director. No, he's our, he does everything. And he has his own podcast. And Ed talks and lauds him a lot, so I'm not going to get into it. But it really is it's a blessing that we met these guys. They're on the West Coast. And I don't know, it's been really good. Exit interviews, I wanted to talk about this. And I also want to talk about the public's perception of what we do, you know, when we're doing it. You know, if you ever notice, if you're making an arrest in a parking lot or a mall or a store on a busy street, you know, people, everybody rubbernecks. They want to see what's going on. They want to watch. You know, they might even yell things out the window, depending on what your situation is. You know, you can't be chasing anybody yelling at you. So, but the public is really curious about what we do, you know. And if anybody resists, as you know, when you're making an arrest, you know, it happens a lot. People don't like being handcuffed. I know I wouldn't. But they might even be resisting because of physical pain. They can't get their arms back there. They have problems, whatever. But, you know, it's a hard enough job without having a peanut gallery screaming and yelling, you know, and it's very difficult. And that causes a lot of stress, you know. And I just think it's important, you know. I know when I was in the academy back in 1980, 79 and 80, you know, they didn't give us much feedback or education on, you know, the public's involvement or negativity, because back then they really... There was no concern for it, but nowadays it truly is. And I think it has a lot to do with cell phones, cameras, and, you know, negative police actions, arrest, George Floyd, Michael Brown, you know, the incidents that have happened with the media has really made a field day out of it. And, you know, there's actual video showing, pardon me, you know, people being arrested or being shot or being knelt on, you know, that's one of two incidents, and I'm sure there's more, but there's not an abundance of them. Trust me, there's not. And, you know, to paint everybody with a broad brush is just really despicable. I just hope in the police academies right now that there's somebody talking to these young cadets, men and women of all nationalities, all races, all sexual preferences. You know, this isn't something new. I've known gay cops for 40 years. I've had friends, I grew up in the 60s, I went to California and worked out in Hollywood, that were gay. You know, was it harder for them to come out back then? Yeah, but it's been going on. It's not something new. But I think it's real important to talk to these young cadets and let them know that, you know, every move you make, you're going to be being watched, you know, one way or the other. So, you know, act accordingly and really think before you act, you know. Right now, there's a lot of discussions about transgender and transvestite people, men and women, you know, men who want to identify as women going into the woman's locker room. And, you know, it shouldn't happen. I don't care what you identify as. Knock yourself out. But if you have male genitalia, you're a man. Whether, I don't care what you call yourself. You're a man. And you should be using the men's room. It's my opinion. You know, I just think it's logical. I don't see how that's not logical. So we don't want to hurt one person's feelings, but we're going to worry about our children. Anybody can identify if they prefer to, or if they decide to identify as a man and go into a ladies' room, ladies' restroom or locker room. No, that's going above and beyond. To me, it's lunacy. It's just completely, it's not right. But you know who has to deal with this? We do. Police do. We're the ones who get the call. And God forbid. You know, I heard the president talking about how him and his dad had seen two men embracing each other when the president, Joe Biden, was a young man. And he said, oh, his father said, Joe, I guess he called his son honey. You know, I think I call my sons honey when they were 3 or 4 months old. But anyway, his father said, you know, those men are in love. I guarantee you this, those aren't the words his father spoke back in the 50s or the 60s. You know, I guarantee you that's not what he said. But he has to be politically correct. He doesn't want to talk about it, you know. I just think it's really important. With what's going on in society, I just hope some of these academies are really taking the time, rolling up their sleeves, and trying to give these new cadets, these new future law enforcement police officers or correctional officers going forward, you know, what's in store? Because it's a lot different now. And we really are being scrutinized and we really have to be careful. And you know what? I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. I really don't. You know, I don't know what it's like to be Black. I don't know what it's like to be gay. You know, just like I have Black friends and gay friends. They don't know what it's like to be me when I worked as a cop. They don't know. You know, we don't know what somebody's thinking, emotions. I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings, but I certainly don't want to put my young granddaughter into a girl's room to use the facilities and have a man in there who says he's identifying as a woman. Sorry, that just doesn't fly. And I don't see how anybody in society can think that is right. I really don't. Maybe I'm wrong, but I just don't see it. Anyway, there are certain incidents that are always going to recur in law enforcement that we're going to be the first ones to see. You know, when fentanyl first came out, we were getting all the calls for drug overdose. I can go back to the 80s before fentanyl was around, when there was tons of drug overdose. No one ever talked about it because those people didn't really matter to the media back then. They were just, you know, junkies or whatever, you know. Now that we've had an epidemic where lawyers, doctors, and, you know, housewives, and priests, and politicians, and average citizens have overdosed because of their drug addiction. You know, now it's, you know, it's front page news and it's out there. I just wish society would put a little more work into this now that this epidemic's over, the COVID epidemic's over, and try to get this back under control. Because now with the border open, more fentanyl coming in, everything's skyrocketing. And this isn't me talking politically. This is me just talking as a therapist. I know I have been so busy these last 3 weeks. And Ed knows. Ed and I worked together. We collaborated Wednesday to get somebody in treatment. So anyway, I just I wanted to bring a few things to light. I love the Toe Wide Drunk. I think that's awesome. And I also think that exit interviews are important. Any questions, any concerns, you can contact me, Mike Miles, the Podfather, 978-746-1717. And I want to thank everybody. And I'll see you next week. Stay safe, everyone.
That concludes this episode of Answering the Call, the First Responders Podcast. Thanks to Genesis House for supporting those on the path to recovery and keeping this valuable resource free for all our friends in recovery. Follow us on Facebook for past shows and updates, and enjoy free access to twice daily support meetings. Brought to you by Genesis House and the Friends in Recovery.